you
hear? Oh, that's terrible.
Hello? What?
There was like a real delay. You were like, James? It's better now.
I guess it had to warm up.
It has to warm up a little first. So it can kill you.
Yeah, warm up. Yeah, sorry. I got a bit of a delay. I'm a playlist on to see which Guardian of the Galaxy I am.
You're Star-Lord.
You think so?
Yeah.
Let's find out. Almost, let's see. Pick a Michael Jackson song. Like, you think you'd automatically go with Beat It, but that's not an option. And PYT, eh.
Pretty young things, repeat after me, say na 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 na.
Yeah, but I hear that in the grocery store too often.
Yeah.
Oh, see, here's a tough one. Pick a one-hit wonder. Do you go with Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley?
No.
Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds or Africa by Toto? Africa. It's Africa.
Africa? Wait. Toto's a one-hit wonder? I mean, what about... hold on a second. Yeah, Rosanna.
Yeah, Toto 4, I think, are on, which is, without question, their finest album. But, yeah, I don't know a ton of Toto hits.
Yeah, I realized I came up with two others in my head, but those aren't Toto. Those are Asia. Like The Heat of the Moment and the other one. I don't know. So, yeah. I guess Rosanna wasn't actually a hit.
Yeah, I mean, it made the top 50. Whitney Houston, do you go... I want to dance with somebody? Yes. You become a chick who's having an affair with a married man.
I just want to dance with somebody. Sometimes you just want to dance with somebody.
Yeah. I've never heard of any of these.
I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me. I saw a band called Sweet Crude with Big Frida a few months ago, and Sweet Crude played that, and I think Big Frida came out and sang along.
It gave me a rocket, but I have a feeling it could have gone either way.
I was going to say that if Sunny Weathers were taking this, then he would be Rocket for sure. You have a lot of rocket to you.
You see yourself as a Groot?
Yeah, I was about to say I am Groot.
I see you as a self-contemplated Groot.
All right. Well, see, Groot. And the funny thing is, like, no! I don't ever... What happened? Are you quite all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. No, but like, right. I can see myself having those arguments with you, where you're like, I am Groot. I'm like, no, James! I am James.
I am James. I am James.
I don't know why it smells like that. It's not. Why would I? I am James. No, I'm not eating it.
I am James. I am James.
Yeah, why would you? Then you eat it.
I am James.
Let's see. I'm going bye-bye, James.
Oh, okay. I did want to do some visual stuff with you first because I went by a comic book store for like the first time in like several years.
No? Huh?
Well, man, I've been inside a comic book store a few times in the last year or so, but this is the first time I actually like bought anything in a while. You see what it says there at the top?
Free comic book day.
Free comic book day.
Did you get the Rick and Morty free comic?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had one. They put one up for free comic book day.
I did see that there were Rick and Morty comics that you could buy. I did not buy any Rick and Morty comics.
I'm See, there's not a really good local comic book store around here anymore, as far as I know. If you want to correct me on that, folks, you can email me at dorkpodcast@gmail.com. That's dorkuepodcast@gmail.com. Let me know if you know of a decent local comic book store around Baton Rouge. Because, James?
Yes. Yes.
James.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork. Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork, episode 148.
148.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So if you haven't seen it yet, save this one. Bookmark it for later.
Yeah, I mean, you can wait like 5 minutes before we until we go. But we are going to talk a lot about it. A lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's a pretty good movie.
I enjoyed it. I think of all the MCU movies, and this may be a weird thing to say about Guardians of the Galaxy, given your history with the previous movie, but I think of all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, this one has gotten me closest to crying.
I would say that's fair.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to say right off the bat, because like there's so much other shit going on. There's like, you know, turd jokes and randomosity and people like, you know, finding out shit about themselves. A lot of dick jokes. Did you make a penis?
I'm gonna go ahead and say, agree with you. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who had seen it, and they completely agreed with that sentiment. This was the most emotionally racking Marvel film yet. Like, just moments where I was like glad I was sitting there by myself, because I was just like, oh my god, what the fuck? Oh my goodness. We'll get into specifics in a second, but once again, folks, we would like to remind you that this is a spoiler-filled episode of Dork.
Yes. Spoilers.
We're going to be talking
spoilers about, and we're going to talk about extra scenes and shit. We're going to talk about all of it.
But for a portion of it, we will be talking about that. James, could you delight the folks at what you've been up to for about a minute while I go say hey to Carol?
All right. So.
All right. I'm passing the con to you. Here you go.
All right. So I've been masturbating. I've been masturbating a lot, and I've been thinking about some really weird things while I've been masturbating. Sometimes they're inanimate objects. Sometimes they're not inanimate objects, but they're not necessarily human. But they're not animals. They're always sentient. They're always sentient. Okay, I would never like force myself on any kind of thing that was not able to give me consent, or would be affected by me not. So if it's inanimate, it's fine. You don't need consent because it's, you know, it's inanimate. So if I had sex with like a brick, for example, I'm not saying I had sex with a brick or masturbated to thinking about a brick.
What are you talking about?
Hey, we're talking about today's teacher day is what I was going to say.
I really look forward to hearing that. It wasn't Carol. I don't know what it was. It sounded just like Carol pulling up.
Not very odd. But yeah, today, this week is teacher appreciation week. And today was like teacher day, according to the Google. And yeah, so like, it was also the last day with my seniors because I gave them their final exam and they were like, we ain't taking no exam. I'm like, fine, just fail. I don't give a shit. So yeah, that's my instance of being a super teacher. He's like, I'm just playing. Give me an exam. They did really well on it overall, actually. A lot of them did a lot better than I expected them to. It was mostly about electricity, so.
Electricity.
So yeah, that was that's my what I've been up to. I have another batch of things to say when Carol actually arrives, but for right now, just hold that in your thoughts and think about it. So we're gonna get right to Guardians, or do you want to talk about anything else first?
Well, actually, Carol just texted me. She may not even be coming home.
What? Never? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Nick. Do you have her number? Can you give that to me real quick?
Just, Why are you giving her the dick, James? No, they're in tech week for
the play?
Yeah. So she's just staying at the theater.
Really? Okay. Well, that's normal and perfectly acceptable and reasonable. And she will probably be home late. That's fine. Fine. Give me misleading information, Nick. That's fine. Whatever. All right.
So, how you doing?
So, yeah, I'm going back to see Guardians of the Galaxy. The 3D, all that, bells and whistles. Even now, though, I've been to the theater in a while. And I say that, it's probably been like 6 months. And maybe I'm just not paying attention. But, like, I went to a matinee.
Uh-huh.
And it was like $11.
Huh.
For not even 3D or anything. $11. I was like, eh. Ouch. Why? See, this is why people just steal the movies.
Yeah. That and $5 popcorns.
Yeah, well, I mean, it used to be like, that's the whole experience. You go in, you get blah, blah, big screen. And this is a big movie. Like, it deserved a big screen viewing.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I mean, there was some absolutely epic shit going on. But,
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's why I don't see comedies. As a general rule, I don't see comedies in the theater. Because things are going to be funny on the small screen and the big screen. But, like, explosions are not going to look the same on a small screen, you know?
But, like, when you open with a fight against an interdimensional being, yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Big screen.
I went to go see it. And mine only cost, like, $4 more than yours. But I went to the Dolby Surround Sound Theater with the super crisp screen. With, like, reserved seating and, like, the seats were powered recliners. So you press a button and it, like, you know, it reclines back for you and, like, lifts your feet up and you're all, like,
reclined. Fancy pants.
It was fancy pants. It was really fancy pants. And it was really...
What theater did you go see it at?
Elmwood 20 in New Orleans.
Who owns that?
It's an AMC theater. Because I'm a Stubbs member, motherfucker. God, I was like sitting in the long ass concession line when they and I was like, man, this is gonna take forever. I'm not gonna be able to get in there. And then I like realized that there's like this little super sweet short line that's all like AMC Premier members. Like, motherfucker, I got an AMC cards. I actually said out loud, well, shit, and like left the line and like got in there and like was served in like 2 seconds. It was awesome.
Nice. You pay extra for that?
Like $12 a year or something like that. So I mean, whatever. And you get discounts at the concessions. You earn points every time you spend money, either on tickets or concessions or whatever. And like your points get you like cashback rewards kind of thing. It's a cool deal, especially if you go to like one or two. Even if you go to like one movie a year, it like more than pays for it. Not one movie a year, one movie a month. It more than pays for itself. Even less frequently than that. I haven't done the numbers because I like go like way fucking frequently. Fairly frequently anyway. Not as frequently as I wish, but you know, that happens when you're in a relationship, but I'm not bitter. You know what the fucked up thing was at this theater though? And this whole like Dolby experience, what? It was a really nice experience. Like once you get in there and you sit down and then like when Gamora's like shooting that super, that gun on, she's like, she picks up that huge gun and like shooting at her sister. And she's like, and you can like feel that reverberating through your entire chair. And you're and like actively thinking to yourselves, like, holy shit, this is a really fucking awesome movie. And I'm really having a fucking awesome experience. The goddamn movie didn't start until 27 minutes after showtime. There were so many previews and commercials. Right? And there was like this fucking, Javier Bardem coming on and saying, and now
he's
basically the Pirates of the Caribbean did mental teams.
Did an AMC theater. Here's a preview.
I didn't know if it was just the Dolby theater, but all AMC, but apparently it's all AMC. So it's fucking irritating. 27 minutes. 27 minutes. I was so panicked about getting there at showtime. I was running late because like Jaina had a bad day, and so I left the house late, and you know, because I wanted to make sure she was like cool before I like left, and like I drive and like get there at, like 7:01, and then like the fucking ticket booth is all like, well, there's a problem getting there. You bought these online, but we can't find them, and then I have to go to the customer service people, and then like I go in there and I have to get concessions, you know, because you know I didn't eat dinner, so I needed nachos, and then I finally get in there, and it's like 7:12 or something. And then I still have to sit there for almost fucking 20 minutes. But it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I like previews. Previews are cool.
I do like previews. Sometimes I really appreciate when I go to a movie theater and by the time the movie actually starts, I forget what movie I'm there to see because I'm like, holy shit, Spider-Man Homecoming. Holy shit, fucking Star Wars 8. Holy shit, you know, all this other stuff. By the time I got to like the Pirates of the Caribbean thing, I was like, when the fuck is the movie going to goddamn start? I want to see this.
Yeah, the Pirates thing was a little overkill. I was not happy with that.
No, me neither.
By the time you watch Pirates of the Caribbean 40 for like 10 minutes.
Oh, I mean, at least this time they were like, it's the final chapter. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I mean, Freddy had a final nightmare and then he had some more after that. So, I don't know.
As long as, if this movie makes $1 billion global, how do you not? How do you not do that? It's $1 billion. Why are you going to throw that away?
$1 billion.
And somehow Johnny Depp looks younger in this one. Like, he's got a lot of makeup on. He looks decidedly younger than he did in the last one.
Yeah. No. He got rid of his woman, that's why. I mean, yes, he had to physically abuse her to do it, which is terrible. But, you know.
Yeah. So, did you have a favorite moment? Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
where you're just like, yes, this worth it.
I mean, when it comes to favorite moments, I'd probably be like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all! I mean, that one was awesome.
That was pretty fucking fantastic. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
You know that was rated R. It'd be like, I'm Mary Poppins, motherfuckers. But there, I mean, that's like the most, like, you know, I was fucking entertained. I laughed out loud. I think it was probably irritating the people next to me that I was laughing so much. But it was fucking funny. It was awesome. But the part that affected me, seriously, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. My screen went black, and it's not coming back on. So, okay, there it goes. I mean, there's a few where I was like, but, like, that scene after, like, Groot and Yondu and Rocket have been, like, kidnapped by the Ravagers and, or not kidnapped, but, like, you know, taken captive. And they, like, dress Groot up, and they, like, kick him around and are abusing him. And then he's, like, walking back to Rocket. And he's like all sad, and just like watching Baby Groot walk along the floor with his head down, all like, oh. I was like, oh, like, I mean, I know, like, intellectually, I realize that, you know, it's not a real thing. Like, there's no Groot there. You can't go somewhere and find Groot that was like acting in this film or anything like that. But still, like, that part connected with me so much because, like, you know, there's been bad days when kids have like. Been abused by other kids at the playground or at school or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, life sucks," and you know, you just want to cheer them up. It was just, you know, sad.
Yeah.
What about you? Favorite part?
I like that they kept Howard the Duck around.
Because once,
but I don't know that's.
Once you go, I forgot what he said. Once you go duck, you don't give a fuck. No.
I'd like to think it was that. I don't think it was. I don't remember the quote exactly. The part that hit me the hardest was when Mantis put her hand on Drax.
On Drax, and he was like thinking about his daughter, and like, you know,
he's like looking out over the lakes.
Had the poker face on.
Mm-hmm.
And she touches him, and she's like.
Like breaks down, you're just like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Favorite moment. There were like little things that they threw in that I just love. Like, for instance, like it when he got the Zune at the end. I was like, that's pretty fucking funny. I liked when they backed up on Ego, like the planet, and it looked like Ego.
You saw the face.
Yeah, it looked like Ego from the comics. And I was like, right. Oh, God, yes. Like, I was wondering how they're going to fit it in. I was like, it's Kurt Russell. But then they make it work. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, yeah. We're good. David Hasselhoff was a nice touch.
Oh, David Hasselhoff was a real nice touch. You caught him in the closing, besides when he was like, you know, in the confrontation with Quill when he turned into David Hasselhoff briefly. Mm-hmm. You saw him in the closing credits as well?
Yeah. Yeah, the closing credits were good too.
Yeah.
A lot of fun moments.
Yeah, I have to go back and watch it again because I missed a bunch in the closing credits because I kept between the ending scenes, like the bonus scenes, I was like writing on my phone, like, you know, information about those scenes. And so I was like missing stuff in the actual credits.
Yeah.
And they were obviously like references to famous, you know, 70s and 80s albums, like rock and roll albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the absolute last scene with Stanley talking to the Watchers, I liked that. Just for no other reason, that'll shut up that stupid Tumblr argument about how Stanley's a Watcher. Hey guys, what if Stanley's a Watcher? He's not. He's fucking talking to the Watchers. End of argument. Stupid. Stop it. It's like that shit where it's like, what if Bruce Wayne is in Arkham and like, what he thinks he's Batman and like all the people are like, you know, like the nurses and orderlies and those are his, like his villains and shut up. It's stupid. Stop it. No. No.
No.
Shh. Wrong. I like Teenage Groot. I thought that was fucking genius.
That was awesome.
Love Groot.
And I like the fact that Quill can be like a father figure to somebody too. Like, and like, I also like the fact that he speaks Groot.
Yeah. Well, he's had enough time.
Yeah. I am Groot. I'm not boring.
The Adam Warlock thing, I figured that was going to happen when you meet the Sovereign.
Yeah, because it took me a while to be like, when she said, I'll call him Adam, it was like 10 minutes later, and I was like, oh, Adam Warlock, yes, okay, yeah.
Which Nick says, in the last Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody was going nuts about seeing an Adam Warlock cocoon in the collector's collection.
Yeah.
And but,
I think James Gunn intended that to be Adam Warlock's cocoon originally, but now he's like, you know, rethinking it because he like wanted to put Adam Warlock in this movie, but you know, there was like, oh, sorry, too much going on.
Did you see Jeff Goldblum in the credits?
No.
He was in one of those circle pictures in one of the album covers.
Oh.
As his character from Thor Ragnarok.
Cool. He's like the it's like a very generic name. What is his name? Not like the librarian, like the mastermind or no, not mastermind.
Some shit like that. The something or other.
The something or other. Jeff. The Jeff. I am from Planet Jeff. And I like the Jeff. Oh, do I have my Entertainment Weekly with all that shit in it? He is... Ah, here we go. This is Guardians of the Galaxy. That is not the right one. I don't have my Thor Ragnarok one. But, you know, you guys know who he is, right? Now I got a segment in my head.
Jeff Goldblum's character in Thor Ragnarok.
I didn't find exactly what you were looking for.
Yeah, you did. You found exactly what I'm looking for. Shush.
No, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Let's see.
Oh, he's playing Dr. Malcolm Reynolds.
Ah, yes.
Sorry, Dr. Ian Malcolm. Just say that. Oh, whiskey this week, by the way. Whiskey.
I always have a problem when I'm trying to think of Jeff Goldblum's name because I always think of him as Malcolm something.
Dr. That's Ian Malcolm. Yes.
Yeah. Like,
wait. Oh, the ice cream man's here. I'm going to have to go.
Ice cream man?
The ice cream man is coming!
You're an adult. You can buy ice cream whenever you want. Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster. Yes, that's what it is.
Dwegast. And he's yeah, there you are. And he's credited in a post-credit scene cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and in Thor Ragnarok.
See, I wonder if it's he has like a 9-picture contract as well, and like that that cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy counts as well.
Counts. Pay me, bitches. That would explain why he's returning for Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park 2. Jurassic Worlds 2.
Well, right.
Oh. Oh, God. It's a wonderful time to be a geek.
I love that scene with Rocket, where he's just taking out the entire team of Ravagers.
Oh, my God. That's like, with Yondu and whistling and like just... killing all things with arrows.
Well, I meant the first one in the woods.
Oh yeah, that yeah,
yeah. I thought that was great. But yes, where they were just him and Yondu teaming up and taking out the whole vessel was just fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, the movie. I'm saying this, and I'm not shitting all over it, but the movie felt extremely formulaic. Very much. And, you know, maybe it's me being jaded, but I'm just like, yeah, this is happening, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen.
My love for you is like a truck berserker.
Would you like to making fuck berserker? Yeah, I really was like, okay, I get it. This is the but at the same time.
I mean, it was enjoyable. You know, so, I mean.
Yeah. There was enough little fun surprises where I was just like, yes, we're having a good time. I am enjoying myself.
Yes, I enjoyed the shit out of myself. And like the Ravager funeral at the end, like that was...
Oh, dude. Dude. I was so like, oh my God.
I know, that was another one that was like, oh, the tears aren't coming. The tears aren't
coming.
They're
all there.
They're almost there. Nope.
Oh my God! And they had the little Guardians of the Galaxy cameo with Ving Rhames and his crew.
Yes, right. And Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, who is she supposed to be?
She's a Ravager. But she's a character with a name.
That has to be a reference in something, though. Like Ving Rhames and his crew.
They're the
other Guardians of the Galaxy.
The original Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the first 20 issues of that.
What the fuck is his name? Starhawk? Was that the name of... Yeah, that's Sylvester Stallone's character. Starhawk? Is that his name, I think?
Darkhawk?
Starhawk.
Starhawk.
Yeah.
I don't... Pretty sure. Yeah, something like that.
And, yeah, but those were, the original Guardians of the Galaxy. And, that one guy who, instead of saying, are you guys with me? And, gave, a thumbs up that looked kind of like Doctor Strange's magic.
Yeah.
That's a guy... It later on became Sorcerer Supreme after Doctor Strange, or he succeeded him at one point. I'm sure Doctor Strange has been Sorcerer Supreme and then not Sorcerer Supreme and then Sorcerer Supreme again. Sorcerer Supreme again. Why is that hard to say?
Just say SS.
Yes.
We all know Benedict Cumberbatch was SS.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, I popped my left elbow, and it's, really satisfying, but really loud, and I don't know if y'all could hear it, but it was, really good. All those characters, have significance. So, even that one that was just, a robot head that had Miley Cyrus's voice, those are significant, in the comics. Well, I mean, it's not hard to have a significant meaning in the comics, because, if you have a 50-issue run, that's only, 1.0001% of the Marvel Universe number of comic issues, you know? So,
yeah,
you can have a lot of backstories and still only be a small smidgen of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I gotta find one of those dozens of articles about all the stuff you missed in Guardians of the Galaxy. Bitch, I missed nothing except four or five things. What did I miss?
I know nothing.
I missed a couple of things.
Even the stuff that I knew I was missing, I was like, Adam, what is it? Is it not Adam Savage? Not Adam Strange? No, that's DC. What the fuck is his name? Oh yeah, Adam Warlock. I fucking used to collect the entire Infinity Gauntlet 2 or whatever that was called, like right after Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity War?
Infinity War, yeah. Like all illustrated by Ron Lim. That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked the Sovereign's interfaces. It was very arcadey.
Oh, definitely. And they had arcade fucking sound effects too.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, the aesthetic they gave Ego for when he was creating his statues and shit.
Oh yeah, which
were weird.
Yeah, I love those movies that have like, especially like animated movies that have like a different type of animation or a different kind of thing where there's like they're telling a story, mm-hmm. and it's a decidedly different motif to it or a totally different style. Like at the very beginning of Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, when his father is telling him about like the story of the Golden Army. And then, like in Harry Potter and the last movie, the story of the brothers was in like this really off animation style. That's cool because it's, you know, it's like a story within a story, but like you definitely get a different feel. Ego, like, he's got the power of a planet, so he could have, you know, life-like things to like do, you know, telling these stories. But in order to like show like this is a story being told or this is different, like, you know, there's like this very unique style
to tell Faberge eggs.
Yeah, which I really appreciate. You know, it's the reason, one of the reasons why animation still exists is because, like, okay, people don't always want to see just people doing these things, you know? Like, we want to see something with a little bit of art, something with a little bit of creativity, like, adding to it. That's why costumes exist, you know? It's why the whole storytelling, every storytelling medium has its own, it matters the way in which the story is told. Otherwise, we would just be like, okay, I'm going to tell you a story verbally, and like that's the way we're going to learn stories from now on.
Okay.
I love the fact that humanity like has all these different venues for a creative outlet that in which we can, you can learn about these fictional characters and their lives and like what happens to them. Maybe that's a little bit too meta right now. Maybe it's the whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, probably is, James.
Oh. Oh, yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Sorry, I have a coaster that is, like, I don't even know what it's made out of, but it's, like, perfectly rectilinear. I should turn on my camera for just a second so you can see. Not that the old listeners are going to be able to see, but...
I'll verify.
Yeah, this is my coaster. It's a perfect rectangle.
Ah, indeed yes. It is.
It's like stone. It's like marble or something. Just put my little copper mug on top of that. All
right. That's very nice, James.
So what else are we going to talk about? Yes.
Well, here's my coaster. It's steampunk, and it moves. Fancy pants.
Fancy.
That was a kit that Carol got me for Christmas. And I had 5 seconds to actually do something in my shop, and I put together this kit that I got at Christmas. But I got my time back, James. The show is over. Foreigner has wrapped.
So oh, cool. I can
finally start attacking the pile of projects I've got in my shop.
Well, shit. Good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. More than likely, I'll end up distracting myself with something completely pointless.
Now for something completely pointless.
Mm.
You know, that's just the way that goes. Everybody knows.
But who knows? It really depends on how good my selection of audiobooks and podcasts are. Because, like, if I'm in the middle of a really good audiobook, I will find ways to keep my hands busy. Because you can't play video games while you're listening to an audiobook.
No.
I'll end up in the shop, like, working on shit.
Speaking of audiobooks, did we talk about Thrawn? We may have talked
Thrawn?
About Thrawn, as in, like, Grand Admiral Thrawn?
Oh, no.
So, Timothy Zahn, which rhymes with Thrawn, has a new book called Thrawn that came out within the last, like, I think it came out last month. Definitely came out last month. Let me put it that way. I don't know at what point last month, the last one. If you're not familiar with Grand Admiral Thrawn or Timothy Zahn, Timothy Zahn created Grand Admiral Thrawn came out back in the early 90s. The first one was Heir to the Empire, which was about Star Wars stuff, by the way. We're talking about Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
And they were, like, that trilogy of books, Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command were hailed as, like, really, like, kick-ass Star Wars books that, like, really jump-started the expanded universe of Star Wars. They took place 5 years after Return of the Jedi and caught up with, you know, what was going on in the New Republic and our lovable characters, you know, including, like, you know, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Leia, Princess Leia. And, you know, like, since Disney has bought Star Wars, you know, a lot of the expanded universe has become more, I mean, non-canon, for the, you know, to say the least. But, you know, they're like, Disney was like, you know, people love these fucking books, so we're going to, like, you know, get you to, like, reintroduce this character into the universe and make sure that, like, everybody knows that, like, Thrawn is legit and he is the shit. So, and Timothy Zahn is a fucking awesome writer. I've read pretty much, no, I've definitely read all of his Star Wars novels. I've read some of his other ones, too, that were good. But his Star Wars novels are, like, you know, phenomenal. They were really good. So I haven't read it yet. The new Thrawn, but I have it downloaded as an audiobook read by Mark Thompson, who's done a lot of the Star Wars stuff, and I'm really looking forward to delving into that, and I'll have a report on it when I do.
Well, Groovy, I have Heir to the Empire queued up on my to-listen list.
Oh, you have it? Yeah, because the first ones I saw were abridged, and then they recently released the unabridged ones a few years ago, which I think is awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to, like, listen to this. That's cool. Oh, man. I met Timothy Zahn back in 1998, too.
Yeah?
At a sci-fi convention in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was September 1998. It's one of those events that alter and illuminate our lives. Anyway, he's a cool guy. He carries his own lightsaber.
I would hope so. Like one of those fancy pants,
like a fancy pants one. Yeah. I mean, he didn't turn it on, so I don't know if it's real or not. So I'm assuming it's decorative.
It's like the hilt.
Yeah, it's like the hilt.
Yeah, I want one of those. I want fucking
yeah.
Oh, what's his name? The fucking Count Dooku's.
Oh yeah, fancy with the bend.
It's got a French grip. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that is bitching. That's what I want.
you think,
oh, I want the double blade. No, you cut your face off. Or I want, like, lightsaber nunchucks. Nah.
It seems like, to quote Harold Ramis, that's an extraordinarily bad idea.
Well, there's a great picture of Bruce Lee surrounded by stormtroopers, and he's got lightsaber nunchucks, and they're yellow. He's got one side of it tucked under his armpit, and the other one's, like, his other hand's holding it, and then he's got his hand out in that, whoa, you know, gesture.
What the?
Yeah. So, Bruce Lee could probably make it work. Maybe.
Yeah, if anybody could. I mean, you have to have, like, Beskar armor, you know, all over him. Like that Mandalorian armor that is resistant to lightsaber stuff.
Yeah.
So.
What the? Oh, can you imagine him? All right, so Bruce Lee's at the end of a hallway and stormtroopers are coming and he's whipping that shit around, knocking blaster bolts right back at him. Whoa! Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody animate that. All the bullshit that gets animated by these guys. Give me a Jedi Bruce Lee just mowing down stormtroopers. Whoa! Whoa! And then you have like a Sith Lord that drops and it's fucking Jet Li. And he's just like, wah!
Fists of Fury.
Yeah. Animate that shit. But have like Bruce Lee mow down like Darth Chuck Norris and Darth Van Damme and Darth Steven Seagal. Like, you know, just like burn through him. And then he gets like Jet Li. Yeah.
Yeah.
He like takes Jet Li down, like knocks his helmet off, and he's like, I'm your father.
What the? Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Dog. Yeah, man.
Sorry. When I think, I more often now, when I think of Bruce Lee, I think of Martial Law, the character from Tekken, the Tekken fighting games, that it was based strongly on Bruce Lee. That, like, every time he, like, punches or kicks, he goes, ah, da, 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 da.
Yeah,
everybody, I think of kung fu fighting.
I think of the Bruce Lee character from Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Fei Long.
Yeah, Fei Long, who's totally fucking Bruce Lee. Like, he pops out and he's like, he is ending thing, he whips out the nunchucks. I used to play him all the time and I was terrible at it. Like, I couldn't do it. I end up getting pissed off and just slam in a bunch of quarters and play Ryu and beat the game. But I tried to get good at Fei Long because he's so cool, but he just, I couldn't make it work, man.
Yeah, I'm on Super Street Fighter. My boy was Sagat. I always play that.
That reach.
Yeah. Tiger! Tiger!
Tiger uppercut.
With Street Fighter Alpha, I switched to Adon, who was the other Muay Thai guy. Because, like, he was so unpredictable. Nobody knew, like, how to fight against him. Like, that Jaguar stuff is what he had. Like, Jaguar knee! Jaguar knee! Jaguar tooth! Jaguar! Oh, man.
Might as well play Dhalsim and just back everybody into the corner like a dick.
And, like, just headbutt. Chippy. Just headbutt.
He couldn't, my friend couldn't do anything with the game, but he could do Dhalsim and get you stuck in a corner and be a dickhole. You just had the time perfect. Ah!
Yeah, you just have to Hadouken! Or like Shoryuken right at the right point.
Yoga flame.
Yoga
couldn't
fire.
Do it. I wasn't
yoga
that good.
Fire. Yoga. 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 Yoga slide.
I would love to see a yoga practitioner that has turned it into a martial art. That'd be great. Yeah, but that's right after seeing like somebody that's really good at Tai Chi, like fighting somebody. Beat it up. Or like, was that Indian one, Pinjat Salat?
I believe that's how you say it.
That's supposed to be like awesome. Or capoeira. Like, make it work. Yeah. There was a really good fighting game on PlayStation where it was animals. I can't remember, but it was different animals, different anthropomorphic animals, and each of them had a different style.
Oh, like a crane and a grasshopper or mantis. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it wasn't all kung fu. They had like different, like, and they all had backstories. Like, so, dude, it's crazy. I love this fucking game, and I can't. It never got, and they never did another one in the series. But I got so invested in it because I played the shit out of it. But like, there's like a coyote, and he did karate, and he was like a TV star, and he was going to use this tournament. They all get these scrolls that invite him to a tournament. And I can't remember what the tournament's called. And there was like a panther that did ninjutsu, and a tiger that did that Pinjat Salat. That's how I know what that is. But it looked so cool. It was like an acrobatic. Like, she was in the air the whole time, girls and shit, and just whooping ass. And then the last character, the big boss, is the Dalai Lama, and he's a little llama. And I never was able to beat him. He would just kick the shit out of me for like a year. And I guess I didn't dedicate myself to it. But
your discipline is poor.
But I got to where I could get to him real quick and then have him just tear my ass apart.
I have no idea what this game is.
Yeah, neither do I. And again, play the shit out of it.
As they say, and again, if you listeners know what this is, go ahead and email us at dorkpodcast@gmail.com. That's DORQUE podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, that's what Google's for.
That's what Google's for.
But, I mean, list of fighting games. It's a whole Wikipedia article. It's just a list.
Man, I was actually thinking about a fighting tournament that I was in, the video game fighting tournament, of course. I wouldn't talk about the real one here. When I was at University of Oklahoma, it was like right after Toble No. 1 had been released. And they didn't think that it had been released like 3 weeks prior to, like it had been. They thought it had been just released like the day before the tournament. So like nobody's had a chance to play this yet. But I had had a chance to play it because I got it 3 weeks before. But yeah, those fun times. Like you had to like get into the finals by like winning one of the individual tournaments. And those were all like Virtua Fighter or Fighting Vipers or Tekken or Sailor Moon or Battle Arena Toshinden.
Holy shit, I was wrong. It was on Sega CD.
Oh. What was it called?
Yeah. Brutal. Paws of Fury. Wow. There's a cover on there. You're talking about sucking me back in time.
Oh, ho, ho.
Apparently there was a sequel called Brutal Unleashed Above the Claw.
No one is above the claw.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and you're fighting for the belt of heaven. I forgot about the bear. I played the bear. The bear was a Russian wrestler.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, dude. It was I loved it. I mean, I was a kid. It worked. Like there's Kung Fu Bunny. He's a rabbit monk.
Okay.
I'm trying. Let me see if they have all the styles. I don't remember all the styles. Kung Fu Bunny obviously is Kung Fu. Prince Leon of Kenya. He was a lion rock star from Kenya, and I don't remember what his style was, but it's some African martial art. Ray Rat was a Thai boxer. Thai Cheetah was a cheetah that did. She fought with Tai Chi, and she mentored Kendo Coyote.
Coyote.
Yeah, he was a coyote that was like a movie star. Foxy Roxy.
Was a fox.
I think. Yeah, she was a fox. She was the one I think that did the Pinjot Salat. Ivan the Bear was the bear as a wrestler. Panther. You can imagine what he was. He was a panther.
Yeah.
And he could like disappear. I remember he disappeared all over the fucking place. Like he could do a thing where he could like transport himself. Karate Croc and Dalai Lama, who is the current holder of the Belt of Heaven. And I never played Brutal Unleashed Above the Claw, which apparently introduced Chung Po, a mole who transforms into an anthropomorphic bat dragon hybrid during battle, and Psycho Kitty, a cat who apparently suffers from hyperactivity. Never played either one of those games. But that's one of those things that makes me want to get an emulator so much worse so I can be like, I want to play this and see if it is as good as I thought it was.
Mm.
Because odds are it really wasn't. I mean, it was Sega CD, which was a shit system. I was trying to explain this to Carol.
Yeah. My cousin had that. And then I think the only game we played was... Well, I think he had Night Trap, but we also played Sonic CD.
Did you see Night Trap is getting re-released?
No.
Dude, it's coming out on PS4. It's going to be like $20, I think.
Huh.
It's the whole shitty thing in that... And it's like they just it's not like they didn't redo it. They just remastered it. And so it's going to have all the stupid cutscenes and all the like 90s references and shitty acting. And like that game got pulled off the shelves before I could buy it. right after I got my Sega CD. Like it's the perfect thing for like you're 13 and you're like, oh yeah, this game is like they're banning it all over. And then they got rid of it before I could. Shit it was. Because I watched the preview and yeah. It's garbage.
Oh, yes.
But I feel I should have the opportunity to experience that for myself.
Right. But yeah, it was garbage. But it was controversial. It was controversial.
So you played it?
I remember seeing my cousin play it or have it. I don't know if maybe he rented it because I don't remember like actually him having it long enough to like see like, oh, this is how it ends or anything like that.
Well, I got to finish it. It's got to be that thing, you know, one more thing off the checklist or wrap it up.
Kick it off your bucket list.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I put it on a bucket. Like if I died, I wouldn't be like, no, I never played Night Trap.
Sorry, I'm like imagining like, you know, you're like 98 years old and you're like,
you know, in your little night, your little deathbed, and, like, there's people around you. And you're like,
do you have any regrets, Nick?
I never played Night Trap.
So that was your flatline.
Well, here, let's jack you into virtual reality and get you. Here you go.
Let's just download your brain into the world of Night Trap. Yeah, so you can play.
Get me out. This is shit. Who wore these outfits? Who said that this hairdo was okay? Did we not learn anything from the 80s?
Nothing. Nothing.
It's bullshit.
Ha ha ha. Asshole, asshole.
I'm fine. I'll blame the whiskey.
Are you?
It's whatever.
Ah.
No.
No.
All right, James. Well, I got to roll.
I have to pass out from alcohol.
All right. Well, I will see you next week. With that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You've been dorked.
You have. You've been dorked. That's what's happened.
Take the entirety of that. Oh, I can see James again. He looks sleepy.
I'm not sleepy. You got cat ears. They glow.
I do. I got my groovy cat ears on.
Okay, well, groovy. Okay, now they're like doing me epilepsy. Bro, what was the other thing? Oh, we never talked about the other stuff. We did talk about that, actually. Yondu Zero, The Ravagers, Adam Warlock, Teen Group, Stanley. We talked about all of them. Shit. We're effective, efficient. We do all that stuff.
Handled it. We said we were going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and we did.
And then we talked about some other stuff that people didn't have to be spoiler warned about. Although I did finally finish Iron Fist, too.
Yeah. Wah! And, were you satisfied with it?
Yeah, it was all right.
looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to Defenders, though. That'll be cool.
Yeah, that hallway fight is fun. Look, they're all fighting together and hitting things.
Yes. Yes, they are. And no, people are trying to punch, what's his face? It's not working.
Damn it.
Power Man. Luke Cage. That's his name. His name is Luke. Yes. His last name's Cage. And when he's mad, he's in a rage. Roll call. Shabuya. Shabuya. Roll call. Shabuya.
No.
No.
Thank you.